Harvest family.
We're glad you're here this morning with us, looking forward to a wonderful Lord's Day. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then our choir will sing for us here in just a moment. Let's pray together. Father, we are so grateful for the privilege and opportunity to be here today. Father, we thank you for your beautiful day that you've given us, full of sunshine and warm air, and thank you for the nice cool air and the comfortable chairs to sit in here this morning. And I just pray that you meet with us, Father. Please use the choir, the congregational singing, the special music to minister and prepare our hearts for the preaching of thy word. And Father, I thank you for those that are visiting with us this morning. And I pray, Lord, that here in our crowd this morning, those listen via the internet, if there's anyone that doesn't know that they know that they know they're saved and on their way to heaven, may today be their day of salvation. May that Christian be comforted. May they be challenged. May they be encouraged, Father, whatever the need is on their hearts. And we commend these things unto you this morning. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, I thank you so much for your generosity and your faithfulness and obedience unto the Lord of giving your tithes and offerings. The Lord's been good to us here. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask God's blessings as we give this morning. Brother Leonard, would you ask God's blessings on our tithes and offering, please?
Father, thank you so much for this glorious day that you gave us, Father. We thank you for this church. We thank you for each one that comes to this church to hear your word preached, Father, and to just share in the blessings of knowing that our God who loves us is with us for this morning's service. Father, we know that all things do work for good to those that love God and are called in accordance with his purpose. And Father, we know that we are privileged and honored to serve our God in many ways. And Father, we know that our worship to you includes this time of offering. And so, Father, we just pray that you bless the giver and the gift to help accommodate the needs of this church financially and for our missionaries and all the things that we are engaged in, for the perfection of the saints and for the gathering of your flock. Father, thank you for this privilege. Thank you for this honor. And thank you for being with us this morning. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Those of you that may be visiting with us for the first time or the first time in a long time, this is time where we just pray together as I pray for the men in the church. They also pray for the church as well as me for the preaching this morning. So we'd be honored if you join us in prayer as we go before the Lord and ask God's blessings upon our service. Gentlemen, remember as you pray with me, pray for souls, pray for revival, and pray that God would use me and that I would yield myself to him. Amen. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, as we come before thy throne this morning, we do ask for your help. Father, we ask for you, if you would, to do a work that only you can do in our hearts. Father, I pray there's anyone here today that doesn't know that they know that they know that they're saved and on their way to heaven. May today be their day of salvation. Father, may that young Christian who is new in Christ be loved, challenged, and encouraged to continue to grow and to dig deeper in the Word and be involved in ministry, Father. Find a place where they can serve, Lord, and give back as you have so graciously given them eternal life. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would be with our men this morning. We thank you so much for our harvest men and some of the men as well that are visiting with us this morning. Father, would you help them? Father, put a hedge about them, protect them from sin, protect them from physical harm and distress. Father, help them and protect them from hurting others. Father, please guard their lips, guard their eyes, and guard their ears. Help them to be the men that you would have them to be, not only at home, but here at church as a godly example in their community and at work. I pray that you would use them, Father, that others would see Christ in their life, their walk, their speech, and all that they do, Father, that you would use them. Help them to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Help our older men to latch on and be a mentor to the younger men. Father, encourage the younger men to be willing to be mentored, to be encouraged and challenged by others that are seasoned in the Word, that they might grow thereby as well, that they might be the fathers and the husbands that you would have them to be. Father, we thank you for our ladies here at Harvest, and we are so grateful for their desire to serve you and to live for you and help them as they strive to be that Proverbs 31 woman. We thank you for those that are laboring in our children's ministry, Lord, as well as our nursery. We pray, Father, that you continue to bless, and we would see our children to come to know the Lord at a young, tender age when they have understanding of what sin is as they look to Christ. And then now, Father, we pray that you would bless the special music that will come our way in just a few moments. Help us to begin to tune things out of the world. I know so the devil could use so many things to get us thinking about what's for lunch, where are we going, how long will the preacher preach today. Father, let me just help them to get it behind them. I'm going to preach for an hour today. Help them to get it out of their system and just get ready for the preaching of God's word. And Lord, I pray that you'd help me. I pray that you give me clarity of thought, clarity of mind, and clarity of speech. But most importantly, help me to be obedient unto thy word. Help me to be yielded into thy hand. And Father, again, I ask, is there anyone here today that needs a Savior, that today would be their day of salvation? May that young Christian who has made that first step of faith and trusted you would begin to realize their next step of faith and obedience is to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. Would you work in their hearts and help them to see and to understand? Whatever needs may be here this morning, we pray that you'd work in their hearts of your people that they may respond and be obedient unto the cross. And we'll be careful to thank you and praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Bible's open before it comes. 1 John chapter 4, read verses 1 through 4. We've been going through the book of 1 John, and last week we stepped away after we, 2 weeks ago, we finished up chapter 3. Last week we had our red, white, and blue patriotic Sunday, so we're back in 1 John chapter 4 this morning. I was not completely honest in my prayer, but I'm not sure. I don't think I'll preach an hour, but if you focus on an hour and I get through less, you'll be happier. Amen. 1 John chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. 1 John 4, verse 1, we read verse 6. Probably just look at verse 1 this morning. So much here in 1 John chapter 4, and then we'll have our special music before the preaching. The Bible says, "Beloved," you often hear me say friends, and maybe I need to adapt beloved to go along with friends in my preaching, but John says that a lot. "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come. And even now already is it in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and of the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know ye the spirit of truth and the spirit of error."
Answer, I may never know.
In a world of look at me and selfies, wouldn't it be something if we were more of who am I? Come on now, amen? Who am I? Who are we when we look at in respective to the Lord Jesus Christ? Amen. All right, if you have your Bibles, 1 John chapter 4, we've read our text this morning, and we'll get started this morning. My introduction is a bit lengthy and closing, so the middle part of the main text is a little bit shorter, kind of like last week, but I think it's what we need to get started here in 1 John chapter 4. Over the years, we have repeatedly heard the statement, this country is a mess. And that's the title of my sermon this morning, How Messed Up Are We? We have heard it on the news and local businesses, at colleges, at retreats, and church services, that phrase. Why do we continue and say this phrase of this country is a mess? The simple answer is, you ready for it? We are a mess. We are. And it's a repeated cycle, it seems, that we don't always learn from history. Going back to the 1860s in America, I believe people were saying the same thing as the Civil War was in full swing. If we go back to the first half of the 1940s, I believe people were saying this world is a mess as Allied forces fought against Japan, Germany, and Italy. In the late 1960s, you could have heard the same statement, again, this country is a mess, as the hippie movement, sex, drugs, and rock and roll was a culture that was in full swing and full steam at that time. Protests and riots breaking out on college campuses over the Vietnam War sound familiar even today, even though the war is well past. If we are going to be completely honest about it, this world has been a mess since Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. Advancing a little further in biblical history, the situation on earth got worse. It was so bad, so messy, so sinful, so ugly, and so despicable that God destroyed the earth with a flood. Everything was destroyed except 8 people and the animals that were brought on to Noah's Ark. Today, we are no better off. Technology has added to the confusion by providing another addiction, as well as making it easier for deviants to feed their sinful lusts and to stalk and prey upon our children. All this chaos and disorder has added confusion to the mix. Beloved, as John would say, friends, this worldwide confusion does not come from God. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse number 33, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, and as in all churches of the saints. Confusion comes from those who deny God and His Word. People are so confused today that some folks don't even know if they are a man or a woman. How hard is it to look on your birth certificate if you're that confused? This world doesn't know or doesn't care that God's design for marriage is one man and one woman. This is not the view of our Supreme Court and those who have not accepted the authority of God, but it is God's design for the home. You see, disobeying and defying God's plan leads to confusion, and the confusion leads to chaos, and that all leads to a messed up world that we live in. So how are we as Christians to navigate in this confusing mess that we live in today, or should I say day after day? How do we find the clarity and discern what is true or false, or what is good or what is bad? How do we filter out deception to get to the truth? Who should we listen to, and whose message and philosophy should we avoid or reject? Here in 1 John chapter 4, Preacher John shares some principles that will help us find clarity in the fog of confusion. His insight can help us avoid messing up our lives and the lives of those around us. Notice verse 1 again, and point number 1, simply put, only one point today, but a lot of subpoints. Don't be gullible. Verse 1, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Dear friends, we have so many people today are not just gullible and just having some common sense, but they're even gullible spiritually and will be tossed to and fro whatever way the wind blows. Let me give you an example. A blonde was walking down the street. A gentleman was walking down the street. Some of y'all get that in a minute. A gentleman was walking down the street and placed a dollar in a suitcase that had a sign, "Help the poor blind musician." The musician was wearing sunglasses and playing the guitar quite well. Might have even been bobbing his head as he sang. After a few steps, the man turned around and saw the blind man remove his dark glasses and look into the guitar case to see how much money was there. The man rushed back and asked, "Are you blind?" The musician replied, "No, sir, I'm not. The blind man is on vacation and I'm just taking his place. I'm usually the deaf and dumb man a few streets over." Sadly, too many folks are too gullible or too lazy to ask the right questions concerning the truth and false claims. TV evangelists, religious con artists, false preachers find plenty of gullible or easy marks for their fraudulent schemes. Gullible people keep con artists in business. This is why we still see televangelists on television asking you for your $100 for a bottle of holy water or a tear-soaked handkerchief that he's prayed over for your miracle today. Friends, or as John would say, beloved, it's important that every believer have a healthy dose of discernment, because when it comes to the issue of faith, we have a lot more than a dollar to lose. It's important that we get into the Word. It's important, gentlemen, which are we around other men that are like-minded, other men that can pull us up, iron sharpeneth iron, other men that can encourage us in the faith, and not around those that would tear us down or those around us down. It's good for us to be a part, older gentlemen, to mentor the younger ones, to help them up, help them to grow. A young man, allow some of the younger men. Yeah, look past. I know you're all grown up, and I know sometimes, because I used to be your age, as Dad would give advice and think and roll my eyes and think, "Here we go again." Sometimes "here we go again" is what exactly what you might need. I know looking back, it was what I needed. Allow some of these older men to encourage you, to challenge you, and maybe push you in the spiritual realm just a little bit. John makes it clear that there are some things that we should not believe. We are not to be gullible like a child. We are not to be fools that will fall for any smooth talker that comes our way. We are not to be tricked or swindled into believing a lie or doing something wrong. How do we keep this from happening? We are not to ignore common sense and the truths of Scripture. How many times have we heard someone say something that sounded like Scripture, but it wasn't, but we thought it was? How well do we know the Word? How versed are we in Scripture? Are we too proud to ask a question about a passage that we don't understand? Or are we too proud to ask about a question to help us in our walk as we serve the Lord Jesus Christ? We should not be, gentlemen, because all of us need a mentor. I might be your pastor, but I have one too. I have accountability. I still call and talk to preacher friends and my pastor on occasion as needed to encourage me or to ask them what they think, because some of them are older than I am and they have much more experience. They have more wisdom and I want to glean from it. Dear friends, we are not to be fools that fall for any smooth talker. We are not, again, to be tricked or swindled into believing a lie. So how do we keep this from happening? We are not to ignore the sense, good common sense, and the truth of Scripture. And the best way to know Scripture and not to be fooled is to get into Scripture. You see, knowing God's Word will protect you from being deceived. Please understand that not everyone who claims to speak for God is actually speaking for God. I was reviewing my notes yesterday, and I was sharing with the men this morning that the good Lord, for some reason, and I trust Him, woke me up at 3 o'clock Saturday morning. I thought I was going to have a leisurely Saturday. So I'm up at 3 o'clock and get around, have my cup of coffee, and say, "I've got to be quiet so I won't wake up Princess, because she probably won't want to get up until noon." So she got up at 5. Princess is my wife. So I made my way out and began emptying the shed and cleaning up a little bit. And a little later, as Michelle got up, we continued working and cleaning the garage and straightening up some things. Worked up a good sweat, took a dip in the pool, really enjoyed it. And then I lay down and had one of the best naps I've ever had in my life. After all, I'd been up at 3 o'clock and been working out in the garage and out in the yard for several hours. And I woke up and freshened up and went in my office, started looking over my notes, and I had one of those aha moments. You know, I could have had a V8. No, I had one of those aha moments. So I got looking through my Bible and looking for something. And then I thought, wait a minute. It might take me 5-10 minutes, maybe less to find this. Let me Google this real quick. And then the illustration came to my mind. I'm going to paraphrase and tell you just a little moment. Get references to this and have you mark down. And I want you later to go back and read 1 Kings chapter number 13. But please understand, again, not everyone who claims to speak for God is actually speaking for God. So I read this, went over, made some notes, and added it to my outline, which is making a little bit longer. Anyway, in 1 Kings chapter 13, we have a prophet who lied and a prophet who died. Both the godly and the ungodly face consequences for disobedience unto the Lord. You see, there was an evil king that faced judgment because of his idolatry. And the man of God faced judgment for his disobedience. No one is above God's rule. I encourage you to read 1 Kings chapter 13 later. Sometimes temptations come from surprising places. You see, the king tempted the man of God to break God's command, but the man of God refused. His guard was up, and there was no way that he would disobey God for the sake of dining with an evil king. No matter what he was spreading out, no matter what was going on, he was not going to sit down with this evil king and partake, so he departed. However, when a fellow prophet tempted the man of God to sin, his guard was let down, and he did disobey God for the sake of dining with a seemingly genuine prophet. You see, so God had told him to go home, do not pass go, do not collect your $200, go straight home. But along the way, he met another seemingly prophet who told them an angel of light had told him to stop him and gather him and help him to come his way, let him rest and feed him. And the prophet did exactly that. But dear friends, when God speaks, the matter is settled. Come on. There is never an excuse for disobeying God's word. Even a fellow believer, even an angel descending from heaven, cannot nullify God's word. And that's why we have cults today. There's no added revelation. The Bible says it is clear we are not to add to or to take away from the word of God. This prophet was given instruction by God to depart and to go and not to stop. Even this other prophet who was this seemingly prophet, later when he found the dead prophet who was consumed or killed by a lion, told his sons when he buried him where he was and told his sons, bury me by the true prophet. Read 1 Kings chapter number 13. Galatians tells us in chapter 1 verse 8 and 9, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which has been preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you other than ye have received, let him be accursed. And dear friends, we can take the word of God and understand it settles it no matter what we decide to do. It settles it. Let me give you an example. I've got two brothers and a dad who was in the heating and air business. That was the family business. I went into ministry. They continued in that direction. If I've got a question about heating and air, my first call is either to my dad or to one of my brothers. If it is a troubleshooting issue with my air conditioning, it's to my brother John, because he's one of the best technicians of any type of HVAC system, refrigeration, that I've ever met. Tremendous, went to a great school, graduated on top of his class. Dad had just been in the air conditioning business for, goodness, over 60 years. I call them because I ask them first before I call out a service guy or anyone else to make sure it's not something that I can take care of. I believe and trust them. And dear friends, I promise you, we can trust this word a whole lot, even more than I can trust my dad and my brothers. If God's word says it, it settles it. that prophet made a mistake by listening to the seemingly prophet or someone who presented what he thought was the truth, and it ended in demise. As seen in 1 Kings 13, false prophets were a problem in the Old Testament, but also in Jesus' day. Jeremiah chapter 29 and first part of verse number 8, the Bible says, "For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, let not your prophets and your diviners that be in the midst of you deceive you." In John's day, as well as today, there was a problem with false prophets that circulated lies, especially about Jesus Christ and about salvation. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 15, "Beware of the false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are raving wolves." Jude chapter 1 and verse 4, or Jude 4, "For there are certain men crept in unawares." Notice that word, unawares. We'll get to that in a moment. "Who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. Ungodly men." And by the way, it could be an ungodly woman as well. Sorry, ladies. Equal opportunity here. We got good men and bad men, good women and bad women. Bottom line is, ungodly men turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying only the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, notice that word, highlight it in your Bible. Do a study a little bit later, but I'll give you a start. Notice the word unawares. It is from the word paraisdono, the Greek word. It is used to describe seductive words of a cunning pleader, silver tongue. It is used to describe someone entering a country where they had previously been deported. In our text, evil men had slipped into the church, spreading false teaching and corrupt morals. Yes, in other words, they could go into one place and get kicked out and turn around and go to another one a little further up the road over in the next town. Maybe they haven't heard how we caused problems there and got kicked out. They are the kind of men and women that judgment is waiting for. Because of false prophets, John warned us to try the spirits there in verse 1. What does this mean? The word try is derived from the Greek word dokimazo, which means to test, to prove, examine, or scrutinize something to see whether it is genuine or not, whether it's genuine or not, or to approve it. Recognizing something as genuine after examination. In classical Greek, it was used to describe a person who was examined to see if they were fit, qualified, and worthy for public office. In other words, you better make sure they're having the truth. You better study that out. You better examine it to make sure. And if you remember, before coming here as your pastor, there was a time of a three-month period of candidating. There was some question and answer time. There was a time of preaching and ministering. There was a time of having meals with other folks in the church that so desired and meeting with each one of the pulpit committee before things advanced and eventually went to a vote. They were trying and finding out what the new preacher or prospective new preacher believed. Here we need to understand that the word also described money that was examined to make sure it was genuine, qualified, and for the proper weight to be used in economic circulation during that time, because people would shave off the edges of coins and melt the shavings. They were to examine. We were to try the spirits. And dear friends, the best way to try the spirit is knowing the Word of God. It doesn't matter what they say. It's not what their opinion is. It's what the Word of God says. Now, the main idea of this word that we were referring to was one of examining and approving. Friends, beloved, as John would say, we are to carefully to examine the message and the person who is sharing that message to see if it is of God, to see if it lines up with Scripture. So how do we try? How do we test the spirits? Here are some test questions that we can use when reading or studying or listening to any type of preacher or teacher. We can extend that to a book or a commentary or any type of help. But let me help you with something real quick that'll help you save you a whole lot of time. If a religion, if a cult, if a sect tells you they have another book to go along with the word, count it. You can test the Spirit and say, hey, no, according to Revelation, I'll throw that out. I don't need it. Because the Bible says that we're not to add to or to take away. So number one question. Ask what is being said about a sovereign God. Ask what they're saying about a sovereign God. Is the Lord praised? Is he glorified and exalted, or is he mocked and derided? Is God's authority questioned or ignored? Question number one. Number two, not only ask what is being said about a sovereign God, this will help you not to be gullible concerning the spiritual things in the Word of God. Ask what is being said about the Bible. We studied the Bible a couple Sunday nights ago. Does the teaching come from God's Word? Is it in agreement with the Scriptures? In other words, if they're teaching from another book, another source, and not the Word of God, ding, 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 there we are, trying to spirits, our antennas ought to be going up and finding out what's going on. Does the teaching recognize the authority of the Bible and the fact that it is the Word of God? Does the teaching encourage you to study the Word and put its truth into practice? So, simple questions. Number one, ask what is being said about a sovereign God. Number two, ask what is being said about the Bible. Because if they are not lining up with the Bible, they're making excuses on why what they are teaching is better than or usurps the Word of God. Those trying to spirits can tell you, you need to throw that out or to be rid of them. Third question, ask what is being said about the Savior. We'll look more deeply into that tonight. Is Jesus recognized as the Son of God and the only Savior of mankind? Is Jesus magnified, or is someone else magnified? Is Christ lifted up, or is the preacher teacher lifted up? Is Christ lifted up, or is the denominational headquarters lifted up? Is Christ lifted up, or is a tabernacle or a temple lifted up in another location? Does it make light of sin or the seriousness of it? Excuse me. Let me back up. Are you encouraged to put Christ first, to follow him, and to do his will for your life? Ask the question, is it about a sovereign God? Ask what is being said about the Bible, what is being said about our Savior. And number four, ask what is being said about sin. Does it cause you to excuse sinfulness or tolerate it in your life? Does it make light of sin or the seriousness of it? Does it warn of the consequences of sin? Does it challenge you to live a holy life? Beloved, friends, listen, if there's sin in your life and you're living the way that you should not be living, then the Word of God should be rubbing you the wrong way. The preaching should be rubbing you the wrong way. Reading the Bible, talking to God in prayer should be rubbing you the wrong way to push you to do an about face and to shed those things that you might be right with God and live for Him as the way that you should. I used this illustration some time ago. I can't remember how long ago it was, but through the years, especially being on the mission field for almost 30 years, and our last place that we ministered was with a military church, and I can remember ministering to people and preaching hard and just really rear back and preaching every week. And we had a hodgepodge of different age groups, but our median age was between 28 and 32. And those young soldiers loved good, hard preaching. Sometimes it would rub them the wrong way, and they would come and talk with me and say, "Preacher, man, you stepped all over my toes this past week." And my response would be, "No, the Holy Spirit did. I was just the messenger. What do you want to talk about?" And then there was others that just wouldn't show up for a while, or wouldn't show up and I have to go calling on them or look for them or run into them because it was a small community. And some of them could say, "Well, preacher, every time I go to church, I get uncomfortable, so I'm just not going to go anymore." And I asked her, "Let me help you to understand what you just said. You just said, I don't like going to church on Sundays because I get uncomfortable. Let me help you. Your word uncomfortable is not a biblical term that you should be using. In the context of what you're saying, I think you should be saying, I don't like going to church because I get under conviction because of my sin." Now, of course, I got real big-eyed and that look, "How dare you say that?" But hey, if I don't tell them, who will? And I tell them, I love you. I'm praying for you and I'm here. You know, why not just fix that by quit doing the sin? Why not just quit being involved in those things and do what God would have you to do? And guess what? The uncomfort, the sin, the conviction, it'll go away just by living for the Lord. Ask what is said, not only about the Savior, about a sovereign God, and about the Bible, but about sin. Number five, ask what is being said about fellow Christians. Are you encouraged to love other believers? Are you encouraged to love others of like faith, to be concerned about them or become distant from them? Does the teaching cause you to become critical and unforgiving or to have an attitude of arrogance? See, that's something that we should not be involved with, dear friends. Too often, a brother is down. Instead of kicking him, we need to kneel down and help them up. We need to encourage them by speaking the truth in love, but we need to be there to encourage and to lift up. Number six, ask what is being said about spiritual growth. Does it cause you to pursue riches, reputation, pleasure, or does it cause you to not be conformed to this world? While on staff at North Carolina as a young preacher some many, many moons ago, I can remember meeting some families in the church that I found out were only in church to make connections, for networking. It was one was a chiropractor, and another one was another occupation. I can't remember what it is. But they were there moving, and I found out they were kind of attend a church for 6 months to a year, and then they would go to another church, send there 6 months to a year, and then move to the other church. So I asked one of them one time, well, why do you seem to keep moving from church to church? Why did God move you here? Why are you here? How long will you be here? Well, you know, preacher, of course, I'm such a young preacher, almost felt like he was reaching out and patting me on the head as he explained what he was doing. I'm just kind of make contacts that I might help people that are sick and need adjustments. I'm just trying to meet more and help people that might have a need in whatever business that he was in. Of course, my first thoughts were, don't people have enough sense that they are sick and have some health problems to look for a doctor? Don't they have enough sense to ask their own primary care, hey, what else do I need? Don't you think the gentleman who needs an electrician, a plumber, an HVAC guy could maybe ask someone in his church group, do you know anyone, or go through the yellow pages? In other words, if you keep bouncing around, how are you going to be fed? How are you going to grow? What if you go from one church to the next church, and it just so happens that every church that you go to, the pastor is starting a series on the one that you just finished up two and three other times? Where's the growth? Where's the continuity of that? Where is the spiritual growth? Does the teaching encourage the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, or the pride of life? Let me add one in here on spiritual growth. Does a pastor kick you in the pants every once in a while from the Word of God? Should I say the Holy Spirit? Again, I'm just trying to be an obedient messenger. Dear friends, don't be spiritually gullible. Look to the Word of God. Ask what is being said about a sovereign God, about the Word of God, about our Savior, about sin, about other Christians, and about your spiritual growth. You need to be growing spiritually. We all, hey, look, what if we ate the same way that we intook spiritual food? Some of us would be quite healthy spiritually. Some others may be, as Brother Dave said this morning, anemic, weak, frail. Sunday morning is not enough. Hey, I love you. Don't be mad at me. Sunday morning is not enough. You need to get into the Word throughout the day, every single day. You need to be around other families, gentlemen, mamas, ladies, to encourage you, to challenge you, to lift you up and encourage you in your spiritual walk. Number seven. Ask what you are being told to do. Are you encouraged to crucify selfishness or to live for a glorified self? Is God's will given priority over selfish plans? Friends, and again, as John would say, beloved, if we listen to John and try the spirits through investigation and discernment, we will find clarity in a confused and messed up world that we live in. But dear friends, let me go back and add one more thing on what are you being told to do. What are you telling yourself to do? How often are we telling ourselves, well, yeah, it'll be all right. I learned real quick at a young age to do my best to be around others that were better than me. If I'm the smartest person in the room, which I never am, but if I happen to feel like I'm the smartest person in the room, I need to find another room. Because I need to be around other people. I need to have others on staff as we grow. I need to have others around that are more educated, smarter than I, that will push me, that will challenge me. I don't need to bring somebody in or be around people that make me look good. I need them to push me, to challenge me, to be better. And you should have the same attitude. When I went off to college, even in high school, but a better example is off to college, and I'm playing ball and there on scholarship, had a partial scholarship, athletic partially from the Boys Club. And when we got there, I did my best when I began to meet with other people is I wanted to be around other guys that were better than I was on the baseball team. I found myself hanging out with juniors and seniors. I found myself going with them for extra workouts, for running, for batting practice, for other drills, because they were instilled, they were tuned in. They had been there for 2 and 3 years. They're working on their 3rd and 4th year, and they knew the drill. They knew the routine. They knew what needed to be done. They wanted to keep that starting position, or they wanted to take that starting position. And I wanted to be around guys like that that would push me. And dear gentlemen, ladies as well, let me challenge you. Be around other godly men, gentlemen, other godly ladies, that will challenge you, that will sharpen you, that might even push you just a little bit to grow and to be more like Christ today than you were yesterday. Dear friends, the Bible, God's Word, will never, ever, ever lead you astray. Friends, beloved, don't be gullible. Use the Word of God as your guide and not the rumors or deceit of those who would sneak in the church, spreading false teachings and corrupt morals. Again, with something I said in my introduction, the Bible, God's Word, will never lead us astray. And the sooner that we understand that, the sooner that we believe it and put it into practice and allow ourselves be to the point that this is a guiding light. Every night, I would go outside and turn on my flashlight and pull it up and pull up my flashlight on my light and go outside, open the front door, turn on the light, and make my way around to the side of the yard so I could see to check on the pool equipment, to make the adjustments where I needed for the night. And then Brother Mel, Dr. Mel, heard me say that, so he brought me a nice headgear with lights on it that I can put on, and I can flip it up or down as I go around the house. I've got solar lights on. As I come around the corner, they pop on, and if they don't pop up quick enough, those lights help me to see really well. It's like a house in Florida, not in Arizona. Some of you have ever lived in Florida know what I'm talking about. This illustration is not good here in Arizona, but in Florida. You go into a dark room and you flip on those lights and you see those palmetto bugs run and hide. Exterminators couldn't kill them. They're still there. Might only be a few, but they were still there. When I go around my yard and the lights come on, sometimes I'll see some run and go up that 8-foot wall up and over to my neighbor. They just scatter when the lights come on. Here's what I'm trying to say. Your Word of God that you have in front of you, the Word of God, will shed light on the critters and the need to run and not be part of your life. By getting into the Word, reading the Scripture, and use it, let it be, as the psalmist said, a light unto my path. Open the Bible that it might lighten up your life and help you to see things the way to see them. Let it be that stepping stone. Let it be that light in your path to help you to see things the way you should see them. To help you to see Jesus as you should see Him. A sovereign God as you should see Him. A Holy Spirit that lives within you and desires to do a work that you would allow Him, you to see Him and work in and through your life. To allow to see where you're growing spiritually and where you're anemic spiritually, that you might grow thereby. Allow it to shed light on things that you need to see about sin in your life. Dear friends, I'll close with this illustration. I'm not going to make the hour. I'm sorry. There are just some things in our life that needs to be trimmed away as we grow spiritually. Ladies, let me give you an example, and then I'll pick on the men. Ladies first. If you're a new believer, haven't been saved for a long period of time, or still growing in the Lord, if you're like anything that goes on in my house, married to a woman and raised three, before they left the house, my wife asked me, and my girls always ask me, Daddy, how do I look? And of course, most of the time I say, oh, sweetheart, you look beautiful. But they ask. And as they become teenagers, there are times where they come in and say, Daddy, how do I look? I said, not good enough to leave the house, go change. Because I was worried about a hemline or something else or the way they were dressed. And as you grow in the Lord and you look in that mirror, there's going to be times that you say, maybe a year ago, 2 months ago, 3 months ago, a month ago, you look in the mirror to make sure everything's in place. And then one day the Holy Spirit's going to say, psst, you might need to go change. That's called growing spiritually. Gentlemen, you're going to find as you grow spiritually and you start reading the Word of God and you begin to see some things and you're a little uncomfortable. You thought, man, boy, why'd I have to read this chapter today? Man, what does that really apply to me? Let me help you out with something. If you're uncomfortable and you're asking yourself, does that really apply to me? The answer is probably yes, it does. But we need to let iron sharpen its iron. We need to let the Word of God reflect and be that light in our path, because there are palmetto bugs, bugs and roaches and rats and mice and scorpions and snakes and all critters out there, but also in the sinful realm of things that will pop up. That's why when I pray for our men on Sunday morning, to guard your eyes, to guard your ears, to guard your tongue, because we want to make sure that we start our day with a good dose of God's Word and say, Lord, every time you read your Bible, you should say, Lord, if there's something that in my life that is not right, if there's something in my life that maybe is leading me to in a direction that you do not want me to go in, would you show me from your Word? In other words, the Holy Spirit may say, you're fine where you're at, but you need to slow your roll and start maneuvering in a different direction. Allow the Word of God. Allow the Scripture. Because we live in a messed up world. We live in a world that is not out to help, to benefit, to encourage, and to tell the Christian, I love you and I'm so glad you're here. It's not the kind of world that we live in. Now, that would be true in a room among other Christians, but I'm referring to the world itself. We need to be on guard. We need to be prepared, and we need to make sure that we are not gullible. Let me encourage you. Take these notes today. Put them in your Bible somewhere. Rewrite them in your prayer journal and your Bible study, and ask these questions as you study the Bible and make sure the things that you're studying and reading. If you hear somebody say something that sounds new, maybe you need to go through those seven questions and say, well, that, buddy, that's your idea. That's nothing new from Scripture. Make sure Scripture lines up with Scripture. Make sure what the preacher is saying, the teacher, the commentary, the book, the mentor is saying lines up with Scripture. Because, dear friends, we do live in a messed up world. But let me ask you this. How messed up are we? Is there room for improvement? Have we been gullible in some areas that need to be adjusted? Are there some of those that are around me in my circle of life that maybe I'm spending more time with than I should, and I need to be spending more time with folks from church, other men, other ladies that will lift me up and encourage me that I might grow? Because one day, moms and dads, young couples, love you. Don't get mad at the preacher. Love you. But one day, those little boys and little girls that are in the nursery, one day, those little boys and little girls that's in children's church, they're going to get a little older, and they're going to want to do things. They're going to say things, and you're going to look at them like, where did they get that from? And you're going to correct them, and they're going to say, but Daddy, you and Mommy do it. You and Mommy say it. What I'm saying is, be the man and the woman that you want your sons and daughters to be when they grow up. And hopefully that is godly, uprightly, spiritual, setting an example that they might know Christ at a young, tender age. Not just because of church, but because of your walk and because of your testimony. Let's stand together for prayer. heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Our pianist is making her way to the piano this morning. I don't know what your need is today, but the Lord has spoken to your heart in some way, some aspect that you need to talk to the Lord, whether it be in prayer, where you stand, or here at an altar, whether you want somebody to pray with you. If you're here today and you've never trusted Christ as your personal Savior, you don't know that you know that you know if you died today that you would go to heaven. Why not settle that today? Christian, if you know that you've trusted Christ and you need to be mentored, you need to be discipled, you need to take that first step in believer's baptism, why don't you talk to the Lord? Because I know what God's going to say, but why not respond and be obedient to Him? Christian, again, if the Lord has spoken to your heart, you do business with the Lord. Father, you know the needs that are represented this morning. Pray that you bless this time of invitation. You speak to the hearts of your people. And Father, again, if there's anyone here that doesn't know that they know that they know that they're saved on their way to heaven, may today be their day of salvation. Give them the courage to step out and to come forward to trust you. And Father, that Christian that may be discouraged, Father, may be a Christian that's just encouraged by the message today and just wants to come and pray and say, Lord, thank you for the reminder. Thank you for the challenge. But whatever it may be, Father, may your people respond obediently to the Spirit of God, we ask in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed and eyes are still closed. Our piano is played. So the Lord spoke into your heart. Why not respond and do what the Spirit of God is telling you to do this morning? Some may need to pray here at an altar, and some may pray where they're standing. But most importantly, you respond to the will of God in your life. The Spirit of God to lead you, gentlemen, ladies. Song says, where He leads me, I will follow. Are you willing to follow the Lord no matter what it may be or where it may be? Are you willing to take that step of walk of faith and say, Lord, whatever you want for my life, it is yielded to you. Hearts and minds are clear. You can look this way. And again, the public invitation is never closed. I'm always available if you'd like to talk for any reason or another. Don't forget services tonight at 6 o'clock, choir practice at 4:15. And wasn't that a fast 40 minutes? That wasn't so bad. It wasn't so bad at all. I hope it wasn't anyway. I had fun up here. I'm like, well, let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask God's blessings as we dismiss. Bless you throughout the afternoon. And again, if you need me, I'm just a phone call away. If I don't answer, text me and wait. I'm either got my phone off for a moment or I'm canceling or talking with someone. I always try to turn off my phone if I'm talking with someone. But if I don't answer, if you need to talk, if you'll just text me. I'll get back with you as soon as I'm free. All right, as always, remember that God loves you. His preacher loves you. If I can be helped to you in any way, please do not hesitate to ask. All right, I'm going to make my way to the back. Brother John Draper, would you lift your voice and dismiss us in prayer?